Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Jane, Sarah, and return from the dead, Kevin. U571 Tinkin. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know.
U571.
U571, that movie with Harrison Ford.
That's right.
Yeah.
Does he return from the dead in that?
I think so.
He's shooting from the hip.
Kevin, what's going on, dude? What's life been treating you? How's life been treating you?
What has it been treating you?
What for the life's been treating you lately? Hey, my name is Christian.
You've been really into the Russian accent in the last couple days.
That's not Russian.
It sounded Russian.
Yeah, you did.
It's like a guy that was born in Sweden and then moved to Russia. Hey, I'm enjoying my mesh trucker's hats.
That sounds like the two wild and crazy guys.
A little bit.
Yeah.
When there is a video that someone made and you were on it, like it was a fake dating video, and you used that voice and you had a really ugly sweater on.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We played that at junior high group or high school group.
Come on date with me. I take you to the coffee.
Yeah. We played that at a high school group right before Brad gave like a message on like dating and kind of, and it was like the kids were dying laughing at how funny it was.
I thought you were going to say you played that right before like somebody gave us really heartfelt testimony.
Yeah.
About like drug use and all kinds of dark subject matter.
I would argue Jimmy Fallon stole that idea from you guys. Because that video was made before his television show ever aired.
Has Jimmy Fallon seen it?
But he does the exact same things every single week.
Maybe
like the fake 80s
Kevin
dating video.
Tinkin is Jimmy Fallon.
Could be.
I wish. I'll take his money. Do that.
Well, hey, we got a good show for you guys. Kevin Tinkin is around for the next 3 minutes, but you're leaving soon.
You're just stating facts.
You're
Kevin Tinkin
now?
Exists
in the world.
Period.
No, Kevin's not leaving.
Oh, okay.
I'm not leaving.
Kevin led worship yesterday, not physically led worship, but on the worship team yesterday. So
come on, everybody, it's time to worship. Follow me.
You were kind of calling the shots a little bit in band rehearsal. I hadn't heard you talk that much in rehearsal before.
That's how I do it.
You were telling Joey what to do a lot.
Well, that's Joey needs.
Joey needs that.
Sometimes Joey needs that.
No. I mean, I just.
I thought it was good. I'm not trying to say it was bad.
No,
I thought you were being a good leader.
I'm usually the guy that is wanting to try to do something different, but then I always feel weird because I'm like, hey, what if we did this? And then
Lacey tells me you're the guy that just passes gas in the mics in the drum kit all the time.
No.
Just kidding.
They did have to remove my seat mic though after several complaints.
Okay.
What's the purpose of a seat mic?
To amplify my flagellants.
For the most part.
Yeah,
okay.
We put it in there especially for
Easter services.
For Megan Jade.
Oh, yeah.
She would love that.
There's nothing that accentuates as the deer, like some flagellants.
Well, hey, we got a good... We got a good show for you guys. We're going to be talking about the book of Job today. And if people are curious why we're talking about that, we're doing the generation series in chronological order.
Like, why would people be...
Well, I don't know. Lacey yesterday was super confused.
Somebody's at their radio right now going, what?
Job?
Why would we listen to Job? Why would they talk about it? You go, let me explain, okay? We're a church. We talk about the Bible from time to time.
Yes. So chronologically, we're going to talk about Job. And then we will have Jeff Richmond, who's been on the show before. He is the Wells web developer. He kind of helps us out with some web stuff for the Spoutcast. But him and I did something exciting this past weekend, and we will get to that here in a little bit. And then we'll close out the show at the very end. But we are excited to have the full team back together here. Hands in, team.
All right. What now? What do we do now?
Now, I believe this week's music is Coldplay, correct?
Yeah.
Is there any specific reason behind that?
We haven't done Coldplay in a while, and I listened to it a lot this weekend. Played some Rock Band of Coldplay and just really killed
it. Video game Rock Band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did a Coldplay concert. So I've just been feeling it.
Totally.
So Coldplay
it's been
it is.
Weren't they
cold
voted
this week,
for best album at the Grammys and they didn't get it?
Oh.
And Mumford & Sons got it? Think so.
Did Mumford get it?
They won Album of the Year, yeah.
Oh, they did.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we started the show, Carl, for a good 30 minutes, went on a tangent about how he hated the Grammys and how he hated like everything that happened there. So
Carl's a pretty negative guy, so yeah, that makes sense.
Pretty negative guy. Hey, well, we got a good show, so stay tuned, enjoy some Coldplay, and we'll be back with some sermon discussion on Don't Freak Out, Job.
We weren't there, but do you see the sneakiness of arrogance that creeps into us? Now somehow God is doing what we think he ought to do, opposed to God being completely free to be God, to just be God, because that's who he is and we're not. And so instead of trying to dictate to God, these things are appropriate for you to do, but if you do these things, I don't understand it, so you can't do that. So God, you need to function the way I think you should function. You bless the good, you smite the wicked. God is free to do whatever he wants. If he slays us, we should praise him. If he blesses us, we should praise him. If he takes our life, if he takes our fortunes, if he takes our health, we should just praise him. Why? Because he's God. And we're not. We're small. But our view of God is so domesticated. He's like a puppy that we try to train to do what we want. He is not. He is Almighty God. And he is awful and terrifying and awesome and magnificent and wonderful. And he is crazy, and I don't understand him. And he does things I don't get, but he is God, so I don't argue with him about it.
That was a clip from Brad's sermon this past week on the book of Job. And most of us have probably read Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, then skipped the next 40 chapters, and then read chapter 42. Sarah's looking at me like, not me. Not me.
No, I'm not.
I read the whole book of Job.
I've never read the whole book of Job.
It is it's a long book, and the middle it's good, but it's you can get the gist of the story from 1, 2, and 42. Mm-hmm. But basically, Brad did an overview of kind of what happens, and if you don't know the story of Job, great book of the Bible, but basically what happens is that Satan basically looks at Job and says, hey, this guy would curse you if you just screw with his life a little bit. And God's like, no, I promise he loves me. And
well, God's the one who offered him.
Yeah, God offers Job, and he goes, look, no, I think he's gonna have my back, and he's gonna still bless my name. And so, you know, Satan, do what you will, but just don't
take
kill
his
him.
Life.
Yeah, don't take his life. And obviously, all this stuff happens to Job, and he's kind of faced with nothing. And the middle part of Job is kind of his friends basically turning against God. Job, at a certain point, not turning against God, but definitely questioning God. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the book, God and Job have an exchange that I think is very powerful, in the sense of God really shows who's in control. Mm-hmm. And God really shows Job, like, I'm in control. And, you know, Job had said in early on, like, naked you'll come into this world, naked you're going to leave. And he wanted to really make sure Job got that, in a sense. And, but God ultimately restores him with wealth and fortunes in the very end. So, it can be a feel good story, but the way that Brad, as you heard in the clip and in the whole thing, I don't think it is a feel-good story. Mm-hmm. I think it really is a gut-check reality of who's really in control. Mm-hmm. And that would be the gist of what Brad's sermon would be. Would anybody think differently, or?
No, I think that's
good. I don't think it was a feel-good sermon, because it is so convicting. For yes. I think we all can identify with saying, God, what are you doing? Mm. And even if we wouldn't say that, like, I know God is in control. I know that he is doing what he deems worthy. Like, my attitude sucks when things don't go my way. Like, Lord, I know you're in control, but I don't like this.
Sure.
And I do a poor job of praising him. Either way, I do a poor job of outwardly thanking him for being God. I'm just pout. Like, I know you're doing what you're doing, but I don't like it. So I'm not going to talk to you for a while.
Sure.
And that it was so convicting for me. Like at the end when Job says, like, I now, my eyes see you and my ears have heard you.
Before, I had heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says, now I despise myself. Mm. Like I felt that. Like I've totally like, okay, Lord, you're right. And I don't know why I do this. And it turns into like, you know, just conviction and sorrow over that. So I feel like it resonated really deeply with me.
Sure.
I feel like Job had it easy as far as the whole God faith thing, if I'm straight up honest.
How so?
He talked to him.
Sure.
He's like, hey, at this point in history, nobody's talking to God and he's not talking back, you know? Sure. And so it's like,
isn't that another kind of like Job, like, what are you going to do for me, God? Like, God, why aren't you talking to me?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, it's just...
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I had it easy, because it's right. Like, God's like, yep, here I am.
And he could verbally, like...
Yeah, remember I made everything? I'm like, oh, yeah.
But I don't know if... Maybe I got the story wrong.
He was quiet for a long time.
I don't think God spoke to Job until everything was taken from him. And so Job must have thought, what the heck is going on? You know what I mean? So God finally spoke to Job once everything was taken away, once he was stripped of everything, once his attitude was that of, I literally don't know how to push forward in my life anymore without God. Mm-hmm. And so I think the difference might be, well, maybe nobody in this time in history is at the same spot where Job is at, right? I mean, in the sense of, Job was stripped of everything and God finally spoke to him. He could have spoken, hey, I'm letting Satan do this to you. So like, don't worry, you'll be fine in the end of it. But he let it be. He let it ride. He's a gambler. So,
let it roll.
No, I see what you're saying though. It seems a lot easier.
Well, cause to have the whole thing happen to go, God, why are you doing this? Then going, wait a second, maybe there is no God.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then he'd be like, no, hey, I'm right here. And I made all this stuff.
I wonder because this is over years or I don't know how long, but I wonder what went through Job's head or out his mouth that wasn't recorded.
Sure.
You know, there may have been many days where he questioned God's existence and we just don't know about it.
Is there any stories in the Bible where they question God's existence?
I mean, yeah. Thomas the Doubter questions it if that's God.
Well, he questions if it is God. He doesn't question if there is a God.
I think the first kind of the people in Egypt question God's existence.
Totally.
When they're in the desert, like, what the heck are you doing to us, God? So screw you. We're going to go and worship this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think they totally are questioning his existence. And then God does something.
Still acknowledges a deity. I'm talking about like if there were any like atheists in the Bible. Like, no, there is no God. It doesn't exist. This is all just an accident.
Yeah. Pharaoh.
Yeah,
He was like, all this stuff that's not real. Like, I can have my witch doctors over here do everything that you're doing, and he does it.
Yeah.
So I would argue Pharaoh's probably a olden times atheist because Moses is trying to explain to him about God, and he's like, nope. Pharaoh's the modern day Bill Maher.
I can see Pharaoh being interviewed, and underneath the little 3/4 bar says old time atheist.
Yeah. But one of the things about Job and I've taught through the book of Job, and obviously when you're a kid, kind of how they market the book of Job is like, oh, here's the story about three friends that are bad friends to Job, you know? And we kind of hear that and we go, yeah, don't be friends with people that you shouldn't be friends with, kind of thing. And I think that idea sometimes is the whole overlooking of what Job is versus like, oh, it's really about God's control. You know, I've heard a sermon about Job and what in the end I took away from it was don't have bad influences as friends. You know, I thought, well, that doesn't sit well with me. There's more to the story. You know, the one thing that, I have a friend who's actually does not believe in God. We've talked about him on the show before, and Job is the one book that for him is the hardest hurdle to get over. As far as him becoming a Christian, I think that Job is, it really shows who God is, the nature of God. And as somebody who does not believe in God, the God of Job can seem very harsh and very lackadaisy and just kind of like, eh, whatever, you go for it, Satan.
Yeah.
And if you turn that into an argument would be, well, does God let the stuff like, does God just let 9/11 happen? Is that God? You know, and we kind of, the only response Christians usually have is, well, God's still God and God's in control. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I think that's a huge hurdle for people to get over, that is the book of Job. It's kind of a brutally honest book about who God is. And if you can accept that, then I think you can get over that hurdle. But I think it's very hard to accept that that's the nature of who God is. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
it sounds really messed up.
Sounds crazy, as Brad says.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I was going to ask Jane what you thought, because I know Job is you really like that book and you studied it, and I was looking forward to hearing your thought.
We went through it in Academy, and since then, that verse in the last chapter of I had heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see, really stuck out to me with a lot of things. And even in like my role of encouraging women who are going through really crappy situations, and I get that question all the time of like, how could God do this to me? I'm a good person. Or how could God do bad things to good people? And they don't understand that in the moment. Like, I totally get that it's hard for people to understand that God would allow those things to happen, because how could a good God let bad things happen to good people? But like that, I guess that verse 5 is like an encouragement of, Rick Taylor had said, like, because he shared his story about losing their son, and how the situation, the whole situation, he was like, what the crap? Like, how could this happen to us? And hearing him say at the end, like, I see God. Like, I don't just know in my head who he is. I've seen God. Mm-hmm. And to kind of leave that of like, okay, let me have it, Lord. Like, I want to see you in the way that Rick sees you, or that someone who's lost a child or a family member or whatever, how they see you by how he is faithful, and he always pulls through. And like, when you are trusting him and you wait, he shows up. So to see that. And then I loved too how he pulled in Psalm 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that psalm. It's my favorite. And how at the very end, but I'll trust in your unfailing love, for you have dealt bountifully with me. And just that picture of like, how long will you let my enemies triumph over me? And all these bad things happen, but through it all, like, our one responsibility is to trust that the Lord has us, and to be faithful in that and who we say he is to us, because he does deal bountifully with us, and we don't always focus on that. We focus on what we don't have.
Well, I think we even sometimes focus on like what God's not doing for me.
Exactly.
You know, and
because we compare our lives to everybody else and how the Lord's providing this for somebody or this for somebody and how he's not doing that for us.
Sure. Or somehow we feel like we missed out on things in life, or we go, oh, I didn't do this, or now I'm a Christian and now I can't do this, or whatever that may be. And it's like, God's ultimately in control.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the question that you have to ask yourself, is who really controls your life? Mm-hmm. Does God, does Satan, or do you? Mm-hmm. And I think most people, they want to answer God does, but the true answer is probably they control their life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we blame things on sin or Satan, but the reality is, it's like, well, it's you who's not letting God intervene. I don't know.
It's also a question of, do you completely trust God?
Yeah.
And if you do, it shows when you're going through something that is difficult. Go.
I used to, then I didn't want to interrupt her, but I used to view God as like this mean, like dictator type where he like tricked me into following him. And now he just does whatever he wants in my life. And it's not things that I want. And it was like a not great relationship. Like I thought he was like a mean dad or something. And
like circumstantial.
Yeah, like he's going to do what he wants anyways. He doesn't care what I say. He didn't even care about if I'm happy or not. He's just doing whatever he wants, and he's making me praise him through it. Like, that's how I felt. Like, I was just a pawn in his glory game. And
it's a good game.
Yeah, apparently. And
he wins every time.
Until, like...
It was so hyper-spiritual cheesy.
He wins every time.
He does.
I keep going, sorry.
Until, like, I've talked about that sermon before, the whole adoption sermon, but until I realized and actually believed his deep, deep love for me, that's when I finally realized this is okay that he's in control. He's not mean. He's not just doing whatever he wants and I have to be okay with it. He's doing whatever he wants because he ultimately wants my good. Mm-hmm. And my good is to follow him and is to do whatever he asks, and it's not so he can trick me into getting the most glory out of me as possible. It's because he knows that when he's glorified, that is the best thing for me.
Yeah.
And when I learned that it was not, he's not me, like he actually loves me, that's when I realized, oh, this is a lot easier than it, you know, I'm not being forced into following him.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And Job came out in the end of this, I think, a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you don't know that, you know, and I think Kevin asked the question early on, he doesn't really come out on top in a sense until God finally speaks to him. So, and maybe there's other people's stories that aren't recorded in the Bible that God never gets to them.
Yeah.
And we don't know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Job is one small example of somebody who remained faithful for a very long period of time. Yeah. But how many people, something bad happens to them and they completely turn away from God and that's it, you know?
There was something when I was going through Jobin Academy, I talked to somebody, I think it was Yvonne or Melissa, one of the two. And they were saying that the thing that was hitting them about Job is that because of everything he'd gone through and like he had like, didn't he have leprosy or boils or something?
Boils.
And how... She had said to me, like, she had been thinking about how when he came out of it, like, his body was most likely scarred from those things. So, like, being a constant reminder of, like, what the Lord brought him through and always remembering, like, one of his lowest points in his life because he wears that on his skin now. And, like, I feel like those things... The Lord never wants us to forget because when you know like the better option on the outside of things, like
his kids died and he's gonna never forget that either.
What? I told my mom I wouldn't say for sure and I just said for sure.
That's all right.
She said I say it too much. Sorry, Mom. She said to say I concur instead.
God's now saying, all right, Satan.
So
how about Jane.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking too when Brad goes on that that part of like, no, he's like this and he's crazy and he's whatever.
Awful and wonderful and terrifying.
It made me think of Chronicles of Narnia when Chronicles of Narnia when Lucy's talking to the beaver.
You ever heard of it?
It's not the Dr. Dre album.
Chronicles of Narnia.
I'm making a joke.
You're making a joke. Okay. Missed it. How Lucy's talking to the beaver about Aslan and she asks if he's safe.
This is serious
Kevin,
time, you guys.
I'm
sorry.
It's
the
so
way you said Aslan
sounded
bad.
All right, keep
going.
All right.
Keep
Lucy's
going.
Lucy's asking if he's safe, and the beaver tells her he's not safe, but he's good. And that picture of, like, no, he can, like, shake you up in a second, but he's doing it because he loves you. And, yeah, it just really reminded me of that picture.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like, Kevin, this sermon you weren't a fan of, or
I don't get it, Joe, man. I don't get it. And
it's one of my favorites.
It just, there's, okay, so if at the end of Job, it was like, and God did all that, so that Job would be able to go into this place where only people with boil scars can get in, and then everybody accepts Jesus.
Yeah, but you know, Kevin, it's that he sees God now. He sees God in a totally different way that he couldn't have seen if he wouldn't have gone through all that.
To what end?
What do you
that
mean?
That is the end. Is that was to know almost, God.
Yeah. You know God through the most tragic phases of your life because he allowed mm-hmm. those things to happen.
So before that happened, Job didn't know God at all.
No, but it's just like with friendships. Like, you could be friends with someone for a long time, but until you experience something deep together, you know, that adds depth to a friendship.
Like, mm-hmm. Christian.
Well, I think Job had a pretty strong relationship with God.
Because God offered him up
for
it.
Or else God wouldn't have offered him to Satan.
Yeah.
Still don't like it.
Yeah. I agree.
I think if you listen to the academy that Rick did. I just think you'd see it differently.
I don't know. I don't like it. If I was on the Bible guy, a meeting that put together the Bible, I would have been like, let's leave Job out of there.
Hey God.
Well, yeah,
I think it's
a weird book in the Bible. It really is, and it's kind of this book that's chronologically out of order in the Bible, and it's like, why is this mm-hmm. randomly in here? Like I said, Jane, I know you like it, but there's a lot of people that Job is the reason why they don't become a Christian, you know, because they don't understand it, and it's a hard book to read, and that I in some senses I see both sides. I like Job, but it's really hard to read, and it's really hard to get through and go, gosh, this is the same God. Like, it's hard to let go of control. Mm-hmm. Really,
if you were to
is
explain
what it is.
Job in one paragraph, it's there's this guy that really loved God, and Satan's like, no, he doesn't love God. He just loves God because you bless him, and he goes, just mess with him all you want, do anything you want to him, just don't kill him, and he's still gonna like me. And he does, and then he messes with him, and then Job still likes him at the end.
That's your second starter for a comedy bit.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm just like, that's why I don't like it, because I'm just going, okay.
So you did all that.
What was
why?
The point of that? And then that's, you know, that's why I appreciate Brad, is because he'll say, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. You know, and somebody, you're trying to pull what, why for the how did the woods, why?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Brad admitted in the beginning of his sermon, like, yeah. I don't fully understand this whole book.
Which is why I always appreciate when that happens. But yeah, that's,
you look
that's
offended,
why I don't like
Jane.
It.
I'm not offended at all.
You sure?
I'm totally not offended.
All right.
I just think that shows the difference between one person and the next. Not saying I'm like any more holy than anybody else because I like the book, but. How, I mean, and I still, it's hard to explain, and I don't always trust, but that God will allow things like this to happen. But I feel like that's the two extremes of it.
Totally.
Of me seeing it this way and then you seeing it that way, Kevin and Christian. Like,
I think I land more where you land, Jane, because I've studied it a lot. I have heard that academy talk, but I've had many conversations. There was a movie that came out a couple years ago. It was a Coen brother movie. It was something blank man, like, and it got an Academy Award.
Iron Man.
It wasn't a single man. It was called like a separate man or
man apart.
No, anyways, right. the basis of the movie was the story of Job. It was a modern day retelling of the story of Job. And this is when that conversation happened with a few different people who don't believe in God, of like, hey, is this movie kind of like the book of Job? Tell me more about the book of Job. And you start kind of reading it and you're like, or they're starting to read it and like, this seems brutal, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to explain. Well, but God's like really good. Like, there's other great things about God. You know, mm-hmm. it's if you read that book as a standalone, it makes God kind of seem a bit crazy, you know, and it's hard to get somebody else to get to the New Testament from there, you know? And this movie is a great, I think, starting point for that conversation, but we talked about it this summer, the lion and the lamb, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah. This is a major difference in who God is, but ultimately that's me and that other person, my friends, trying to control God.
I think the reason that it shifts, that it kind of screws with my paradigm and my understanding of God is the understanding that we sin because we're sinful. The devil's not out to get you. You know, that's, we've heard that before, right? The devil's not out to get you. It's that our own sinful nature causes us to put us in situations where we sin.
Sure.
And then you read Job and it goes, no, the devil is out to get you. And I'm going like, well, what? That's, and it's messes with my paradigm.
Yeah, but
if
the
it
Bible,
was,
the Bible does say that the devil is
roaring or prowling,
yeah, prowling like a lion seeking to destroy.
One of the things that Brad said really quick that I thought was key, and I've never heard this before, but I believe it to be true, is Satan is not omnipresent.
Right,
so
yeah.
Satan is not causing me to sin. He's dealing with somebody somewhere else. Uh-huh. He may get to me eventually, but it's on me.
Yeah.
There's no deal between Satan and God like, hey, mess with Christian a little bit.
Well, there might be.
It could be, you know, but I, for
the
most part,
he'd only be doing that to you at that
point.
I'm
doing it all to myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Satan's not omnipresent, so he's not everywhere, and he's off dealing with his own issues. He's, you know.
And that's you choosing to live for your flesh instead of for in the spirit.
Right. Well, we should bring it in here a little bit. Sorry, guys.
I know. There's
hands in.
We all love each other.
There's a lot to talk about on the book of Job. If you haven't heard the sermon, definitely listen to it and enjoy. Find some friends and enjoy some good conversation.
Find some friends.
And,
find them.
Yeah, if you don't have friends,
go to Starbucks.
And don't Kevin get will be friend. Friends like Job because they talk too much.
Yeah. Like Job's friends or like Job?
Like Job's friends.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. Friends like Job had.
That's right. All right. Well, hey, stay tuned for an interview with Jeff Richmond about a fun weekend we had together. And just me and Jeff buddying up.
Just palling around.
Enjoy some more Coldplay. Welcome back. We are here with a friend of mine, Jeff Richmond, and
I like how you
he's
you,
no friend of ours.
Yeah,
I've got some other friends in the room. Yeah.
Well, all right,
my friend.
Friend of the Spoutcast.
Yeah.
All right. Spoutcast friend of the Spoutcast, Jeff Richmond. And Jeff, you've been on the show, I believe, one other time, correct?
Yep.
This was when you told audiences that if you typed in mullet on the webpage, Brad's face would come
that's
up.
That's a good trick.
Maybe we'll get some other insider secrets today.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Jeff, you gotta have like 10 Easter eggs that you tell us about like once every 6 months
I
on
bet
the Spoutcast.
He does.
Actually, I don't think there's any other right now. But
10 Easter eggs?
Janie keeps
they're called
me
like
to do
Easter
it.
Eggs, right?
Yeah, it's like what you can't find on a DVD menu. You have to know the secret
Easter egg.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense.
But Kevin gets it.
Yeah,
he has
I
kids,
thought
so.
why are we getting Easter eggs all throughout the year?
Well, so ahead. Jeff, what is your official title at the Well?
Web developer and designer.
Okay, and for the Spoutcast, you are just you're our guy who helps me out with stuff.
Yeah, that's the official title. That's it.
It's on his card. Christian's guy who helps him out with stuff.
So Jeff and I had a great weekend, we thought it'd be funny to bring not funny, but fun to bring Jeff on the show so we could kind of dialogue back and forth about our weekend, but. I don't know what, like 6 months ago, maybe? No, 4 or 5 months ago, Brad had mentioned to the staff, hey, I would like everybody to do the Tough Mudder, right?
Yep. Yeah, it was about then.
What?
Well, I think...
Why?
Yeah.
You know, Brad, he's into things.
Hey, guys, everybody needs to learn how to play paradiddles, because I like the drum. Everybody should be able to play the drums.
It's a great Brad impression.
What did you call those?
Paradiddles.
So paradiddles.
It's an actual
never
drumming
heard of that.
Term.
right.
Well, you know, those drummers, if I was your pastor, all the drummers you would that listen, have to know. Yeah, all the drummers that listen to the Spoutcast, yeah. They would get okay. that.
They're into the paradiddles.
They're laughing hysterically right now.
In so, yeah, stitches.
Brad basically said, I'd like for as many people on the staff as possible to do
Tough Mudder.
And the Tough Mudder is marketed as a very, very, very tough event. And so
hence
I think
the name,
through yes, the mud.
Possibly the toughest on the planet.
Yes, that's I've what heard. They say all over the place. And so Brad said this to the staff, and then I feel like there was this like swell of like a bunch of people were thinking about doing it. And then when push came to shove, it was four people. And Sarah was going to do it.
Why would you throw me under the bus? Why would you throw me under the bus?
Oh, because this is so fun.
Nobody's going to tell Brad no. He's like, hey, everybody, I want every new Tough Mudder.
I'm pretty certain a good 40 people told Brad no.
But right in the moment?
No, but
I just imagine everybody going, yeah, okay, yes. No. I'll do this. And then
here's what I think happened.
He can be a sweet talker.
Here's what I think happened. And we'll get to this in a second. But I think the people that completed the very first one was Greg Zuffalato, Brad Bell, and Chris Beery. Yeah. So for them to go, do this, it's totally all good. You'll be fine. It's a pretty scary thought because these are the two most well-built, fit people on staff at the point, right?
Yeah, those guys are beasts.
I've always thought that. I have a list in my room. Okay, most well-built staff members on the world.
So, I had heard about this thing called the Tough Mudder, and I don't know, Jeff, had you heard about it beforehand? Or
yeah, I'd heard about it, but never considered doing it because it's so long. There's others that are shorter that I thought about doing.
Yeah, there's like a Warrior Dash that's a couple miles that I've heard about, and at a certain point, you decided to start working out with Brad and Greg and all those guys.
Yeah, I had a moment of weakness.
Yes, yeah, good.
Now, the week that Carl showed up to work out with those guys?
No, I wasn't there yet.
Carl's told me the story where, like, Carl Deese, one of our worship leaders, where he shows up to work out at what's affectionately called GBZ with his Greg Zuffalato. And Carl shows up and does like 50 pull-ups, like 50 sit-ups, and he literally couldn't get out of bed the next morning.
Yeah. And he never came back.
And he's never come back.
And Greg's also made Mike Sladen throw up too.
Oh, wow. Like,
I came close to throwing up a couple times.
So. That's good stuff. So anyways, four of us staff members, along with...
Four? I thought it was more.
JD went too.
But JD's not staff. He's been on staff.
Yeah, he is.
JD's staff? No, he's an intern.
I want to see his paycheck.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's okay.
Yeah, he used to be a maintenance guy at the well.
Fine. He's not on staff, everybody.
All right, sorry. Four official
volunteer staff.
Me, Jeff, Brad, and Andrew File. And then the rest were kind of friends and all the above. And Sarah backed out. But, you know, it's neither here nor there.
Brad came up to my cubicle like a month ago. He said, so it's a no then. And just stared at me. And I was like, no, it's a no. Like, yeah, Sarah, you're going to regret it. Okay.
Yeah, you look like you've been in a car accident.
Yeah, I've got a few bumps and bruises.
So we get there.
It's brutal.
We get there, and like, I don't know what your initial thought was, but I got there and I was like, oh, why did I sign up for this? Because it's pretty like bro city out there. It's full of like, it's Meathead Nation out there.
Yeah, and like
bro city and Meathead Nation.
Am I being any way over the top?
No, that's exactly
I think our group of people stood out a little bit. We're kind of an eclectic group of people. Nobody on our team has a mohawk or.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought about it though.
Yeah, I didn't think about it as well. I asked Lacey, and she said no, because they were giving away free mohawks if anybody wanted one. Oh, you could go up and they'll shave
you. Giving away free mohawks or shaving half of your head for free.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. It's a good deal.
Yeah, apparently.
It's good. No, it's a steal, actually, I call it.
Did anybody come up to you and ask you if you even lift?
Did you prepare for this?
Did you even lift, bro?
Well, that's how they would say it. Hey, did you lift, bro? No, but I'd say I took my creatine beforehand. Isn't that like a thing? You used to be a trainer, creatine, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't make you stronger.
Okay. So we get there, and basically how the Tough Mudder is, it was an 11-mile race, and every mile, about every half mile, there's another obstacle. Mm-hmm. And we started off, and about the first mile into it, it was I thought the first mile was easily the worst.
Yeah, it was brutal because there's no obstacles within that first mile, and it was almost all uphill.
And that was the only part of the day when the sun was actually out, so it was kind of hot.
Yeah.
And after that point, though, and Jeff, I could be wrong. After that point, not the toughest event on the planet.
No, it wasn't too bad. My biggest problem is I was cramping up for half the race.
No. Oh,
my legs are cramping like crazy. But as far as the distance, the 11 or 12 miles, whatever it was,
yeah,
it really didn't feel that because of all the obstacles in between.
Sure, sure. Now, one thing is, if you are listening to this, this is my perspective. And Jeff, what did you say to me earlier? You would never do Tough Mudder again, would you?
Yeah, my box has been checked.
Okay.
I don't need to do it again.
So for me, I'm like, I think everybody in the world should do the Tough Mudder at some point in their life. It's the biggest confidence booster you could ever possibly have.
Christian, what'd you say this morning that us as a Spoutcast team should do it?
That's what I think we should do it as a Spoutcast team.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Kevin, you would have a good time.
I would not have a good time.
What would not be fun about it for you?
The whole thing? the people that I would be surrounded by, according to your description.
But so we'd make fun of them the whole time.
No, but these people end up becoming your best friends on the...
Oh, because they're pulling you
up. Because they're pulling you up. They're helping you up. And there's this one station at the Tough Mudder. It was called the Mud Mile. Do you remember this one?
Yeah.
And it was like hill after hill after hill.
That sounds exactly like what I would enjoy. You know what? I take it all back. Now that you've said that there's a mile-long hill run in the mud.
No, it wasn't a mile. That's what they labeled it. And you basically are going over all these mud hills, and every hill your other team is not crossed where you're at, so you're looking at people to help you up this hill, and so random people are pulling you up, and everybody gives you attaboys the whole I must have gotten slapped on the butt by 50 different
Question,
people the whole time.
How many females did it?
I would argue it was half and half.
Really?
Half males, half females.
Were guys slapping girls' butts?
No.
That would be inappropriate.
I'm telling you, you get lots of attaboys out there.
Yeah.
Listen, if we do this, you better not slap my butt.
Nobody's going to do that.
I thought you were going to say something like totally different. Like, you better not leave
now,
me
Jeff,
in the dust.
Did you? Was there any obstacles you did not do?
There were a couple at the end just because I was cramping up
really
bad.
Okay.
And there's one where you have to jump off a 20-foot platform into water, and I didn't want to cramp up in the water.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a good call.
There was one where I could have died.
Yeah.
Opt out.
No, you would have sunk, didn't you?
No, you float.
You just like a toothpick. Cramp it up.
I'm done.
I heard there was one where you... you have to, the wounded warrior one,
where you have to
carry one person halfway and then the other carry you. And I heard you got teamed with Brad.
You had to carry Brad?
No, best part was Brad carried Jeff both times. And so
Brad wasn't about to make me carry him. So he just carried me the whole way.
I think he's like twice your size.
At least.
Now, the funny thing is also is that everybody carried one another like.
Yeah.
Like, I had carried Andrew File like on my back, like a piggyback ride, but Brad had lifted Jeff up like a dumbbell.
And it was like a fireman carry.
It just kind of was like, you know. It was super funny.
Yeah, we were having a conversation the whole time. It was great.
He's like, hey, stock market's doing great, isn't it?
Wait, how did he really carry you?
Was over his shoulders,
like
on his back. Yep.
Yeah, it was funny.
Like a fireman carry.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
The leg and grab the wrist.
There was this... there's this like, it's about a 9-foot wall, 10-foot wall maybe. And you have to get teammates to kind of push you over this wall. And you were probably the first one to get launched on those walls, right?
Yeah, one of the first couple.
So we would launch everybody and Brad would be the last one back on one of the walls. And we're like, dude, what's going on with Brad? Like, how come he's not coming over? Like all eight of us are waiting for Brad. And then we kind of walk around and Brad's like, nobody's helping me. It was like, Brad was like really sad because he's like, Toby's going to help me over this wall. So then we all went and helped him. But Brad was, it's great to go with guys like Brad, if that makes
sense.
Because he's going to get you through every single obstacle.
He's like the encourager.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, did you?
Or he's the one who muscles you through the course.
Oh, seriously.
Yeah,
there were, I mean,
extent, he, yeah.
He pulled me and Jeff up this thing called Everest, where literally, like, you just stick your hand up in the air and he just yanks all 170 pounds of you straight up in the air. I mean, Brad's a big boy.
Yeah.
And Kevin knows. Oh, yeah. I swear, Kevin, you would enjoy it. I know it sounds crazy. But when you're there in the moment, it's unbelievably
fun.
It's
a lot of fun.
Are you willing to put money on my level of enjoyment?
Yeah, I would put money on your level of enjoyment.
He'll pay your entrance fee.
I would lie about it at the end.
If I paid your entrance fee, well, then you're a liar.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to take that up with Satan. I mean, God.
What?
Yeah, somebody.
Wait a minute. Heresy. Heresy's happening.
Hold on.
Jeff, what was your most absolute favorite part of the whole Tough Mudder?
The team aspect of it was just awesome.
Yeah.
I think I probably would eventually finish, but it was so much easier and so much more fun with the team.
Sure.
Other than that, some of the obstacles were pretty fun. Like the mud mile, I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, me too.
Some of the ones where you're crawling in the mud, it's just something you don't do every day. So it was kind of fun.
I agree.
What about the shocking parts?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get shocked.
Yeah, Jeff didn't
I
get
lucked
shocked.
Out.
How yeah. you just...
There were three obstacles with electricity. One of them I skipped because of the cramping. The other two, I just lucked out.
Yeah.
The way it works is it pulses electricity. And if you're in between pulses when you hit the wire, then you don't get shocked. Or if somebody else gets shocked a second before you, you don't get shocked.
Right.
Ooh, so I just was lucky. In front of you.
Well, me and Andrew File were like, okay, one, two, three. And on three, Andrew went and I said, go. And so Andrew was like booking it through it. And so Andrew barely got shocked. And then it was just me in this giant course of you can see a photo I just posted on Instagram. Yeah. It's hilarious. Just me in there.
That photo is amazing.
I must have gotten 15 shocks in a row. I was like,
there's Brad, one that wrapped around your neck.
Yeah,
and
one
you just
got wrapped
spun.
Around.
It was awesome.
Brad texted me afterwards. He's like, best part, watching your faces going through this shock thing.
Yeah, and there's a picture of it. So check out Christian's
it really,
Facebook.
Instagram.
Insta. I don't know. I would argue it wasn't that bad. It's obviously painful in the moment, but you can easily a tattoo is far worse than anything I did on the whole course.
Yeah, I think the mental aspect of the electricity is the worst part. Just the anticipation.
Totally.
So I was freaking out pretty good.
So what you're saying is, before we do the Tough Mudder, we're all gonna go get spout cast tattoos.
That's what I'm saying.
And exactly then we'll do it, and we'll be like, oh, that wasn't that hard. We got tattoos.
That's right. I'd do it in a heartbeat. Now, what was your least favorite part of the whole?
It has to be the cramping.
The cramping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Half the race, my calves and my quads, they were just cramping up.
I
like
wish
crazy.
We could take a photo of your knees because it looks like a lawnmower just scraped across both of your knees.
Yeah, that's what the army crawl does to you.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, that part doesn't happen.
There was like the first thing is this army crawl where there's barbed wire above you, and I was like, oh, this is kind of painful. So I like got up and just sharp barbed wire right into my back. I'm like, well, that's not good. I'll go back down.
Yeah, get back in the mud.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Kevin, I know you think that, but it really was an enjoyable time together.
It's fun.
It's good.
Christian, Lacey said the top of your belly button is worn off.
A little bit of my belly button. Something happened to it. I'm not going to show you guys, you know. Don't want to cause you to stumble.
Right. Yeah, bloody belly buttons. That's
I don't know what. I think it just must have scraped across something. Along the course, they had like cliff bar kind of things. And every station where there was food, I was like, dude, I'm going to town. And so like, I stuffed my pockets with Cliff Bars. There was like these gummy things that on the back of the package said, take one every hour. And I ate all six. And I was like, this is the best. Like,
dang, maybe I should have done that.
So jeez. Good. So much fun. I this is my only critique of the whole Tough Mudder. I think there needs to be music all along the course. Like, there should never be a moment where you don't hear music.
Is there music at some parts of it?
Yeah, and it was awesome when there was.
It was awesome when there was music.
Like Metallica type of stuff?
Yeah,
or?
Just stuff to pump you up.
Like, there was this 20-foot drop that Jeff was talking about, and as we're running down the hill to go to this 20-foot drop, all you hear is, let the bodies hit the floor. And Brad's face just lights up. He's like, yeah!
Oh my god.
But like, I mean, every station there's different music, but I'm telling you, like, the music was what makes you want to keep going. And I think they should get a DJ at every station to like like, all right, dance party, or like just people are standing around a lot of times. And so to add to the elements of fun, I think it was, that was what made it for me, was the music along the course. So
yeah,
much fun.
Yeah, it definitely helped.
The worst part for me was how cold it was.
Yeah,
it was freezing. People had to wear those like fireman blankets that they give you, like those plastic sheets. Yeah.
They did that on The Bachelor last week. They had to wear those
kind of
things. Wait, what? You watched The Bachelor?
Yes.
It's a cooking show.
Yeah.
Yep. Where was this held at? What city? Is this Lancaster?
Temecula.
Okay, yeah. I drove by the area, through the city. And not in Temecula, but like near. Anyways, and it was cold outside, and I thought it's like 40-something degrees right now.
It was pretty cold.
Yeah.
You just keep adding more elements that make it bad.
Well, but this was what's called
the sharks
tough,
at the end.
The
were,
Tough Mudder
were
winter, yeah. And they have a Tough Mudder summer as well. And Brad and Chris and Greg did it in summertime, and they're like, oh, we weren't cold at all. We were extra hot. After it was over.
Well, yeah, that would make sense because it was in the summer.
I enjoyed it all except for when the Aboriginal tribes came and shot poisonous darts at us. That was the only part that was a little off for me.
Well, I would strongly encourage anybody who listens to this show to do this, the Spoutcast, the Tough Mudder. I think it is for me, it is such a confidence booster. And, I think that when you complete it, Lacey calls them like serotonin levels. Like you just.
Lacey calls it serotonin levels. I think a scientist
is
what
I don't know what
called.
The medical term is. For
but
this.
Lacey calls it serotonin.
It's just
levels.
You, I mean.
Endorphins?
Endorphins. You're just pumping with excitement and you are just so happy to be done. But also you're like, wow, I cannot believe I did this. And that adrenaline. Like I drove home without wanting to fall asleep once on that 5-hour drive because I was just like so pumped on it, and I want to do it again. But I can understand I would never want to.
I feel like there's other things in life that could also give that same excitement, like
heroin and
yes.
Sarah, what are you referring to?
I'm referring to like running a half marathon or being in a musical.
Totally. Oh
for
yeah,
me
that's,
personally,
that's what I was thinking.
I'm just saying like there's other things for other people. Like
that's what Kevin was thinking.
Yeah. Well, he's on stage. I'm
I would
sure
argue
he feels
the feeling that.
That
you get when you get off stage after doing a killer comedy set,
the minor irrelevant,
is the same feeling you get when you complete each obstacle.
Yeah.
Would you disagree with that?
No, I'm sure. Yeah, right. I'm in. I used to be all into the athletics at one point in my life.
You're a bodybuilder?
At this point, yeah. I'm.
Wait, now, were you really a bodybuilder?
Would Janie ever do this?
I did an amateur bodybuilding
competition. She joked about doing it when Brad said that it would replace the staff retreat.
Oh.
But, no,
does she
I don't
hate
think
staff
she would.
Retreat?
She's not a fan. It's not, doesn't fit into her personality type.
No.
But I feel like Tough Mudder wouldn't fit into your personality type, and you broke personality type.
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah.
Although I do run and played soccer in high school.
Okay.
So a little bit athletic, but mostly a geek.
Did you throw away your Did you throw away all your clothes and shoes afterwards, or you kept?
No, I kept them.
All right.
The shoes I just wear in the yard to work.
I thought you were gonna wear your free headband into the office today.
I've got it in my pocket.
Oh, look at that! Confidence booster. Just carry the Tough Mudder band. If you ever see Jeff around, he's going to carry that thing for the rest of his life in his pocket.
You heard it here, folks.
Yep.
I love it.
Well, hey, Jeff, thanks for coming on and chatting Tough Mudder. I really had a good weekend. And
really? You couldn't tell?
Oh, man. I just came back so pumped on life and the Tough Mudder.
It was a great time.
It's good.
Did you just want to tell Janie all about it that night, or you had to wait for the next day?
I wouldn't shut up.
Oh, yeah.
She was trying to go to bed. I got home at like 10:30, and she wanted to go to sleep, and I wouldn't let her.
I got to tell you about
this. That's really cool.
One of the best parts.
This one obstacle. Oh, and this other obstacle.
Right. There was this moment. Sorry, I'll close it after this. But there's this moment. One of the guys on our team were climbing these two walls, and it's hard to explain when you can't see, but they're these walls that you have to kind of like, it's almost rock climbing. But imagine two walls side by side, and you're climbing back to back from one another. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Thad, that was with our crew, and this girl, just random girl, fell off this wall at the exact same time and just smashed heads. And Thad gets up like no problem, and this girl just looks around like, what just happened? And she is just destroyed, and Thad is going, I am so sorry. And the difference between this girl, this was like the most petite, tiniest girl, and Thad's not a big guy, but he's a fit guy, and I was just like, oh, you just killed that poor little girl. This is so, so brutal. And I watched a guy fall off the monkey bars and smack his chin right on the wood. He was on the very last bar, and he just slipped and just smacked. And I thought, all right, those guys, they get a pass. That's tough for them. But I felt like it took it pretty easy. So, Kevin, you in now?
Nope. if I'm at a healthy point, then I'm good. I can't run you just a block. I can't run it. I'm done.
You can't run a block is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think you could do the Tough Mudder.
No, I could not. If I'm working on the whole block running thing. And at some point I'm gonna be there and I'm gonna do two blocks.
All right.
And then
it's time for the Tough Mudder.
Then it's time for the Tough Mudder. It's in that order.
All right, fair enough. All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for being on. And as always, you know, with Jeff, if you ever go on the website and you like stuff on there, that's all Jeff, correct?
Most of it. There's some design stuff that's Casey and Chris.
But if something's wrong on the website, then it's Karen's fault.
Yeah, it's all Karen's fault.
Yes. Okay.
All of it.
So maybe Jeff tossing another Easter egg along the way on the website.
I'll try to work another one in.
I thought about, for the Tough Mudder, getting all of us dry fit shirts with Brad's mullet face on the back and showing up, passing them out to everybody and us running. But I felt like Brad would have been like, not cool.
That would have been amazing.
No? You think he would have been cool with it?
You should try it.
The point is to not care if he's cool with it.
I guess right.
Do it.
You're going to be covered in mud anyways.
That's right. All right. Well, stay tuned as we close out the show. Enjoy some more Coldplay. Welcome back. We're going to close out the show here. Why all giggly, everybody?
Why? I don't know, Christian.
Yeah,
why?
Christian, you tell
you
us.
Broke
wind
all over town.
Just but he does this
cheeks.
Every week.
I get cramped in here. I don't know what it is. It's weird.
It took about a year, all and this, then now it just happens
yeah,
all the time.
You
all
reach
the
stimulating
the conversation just gets your bowels in a,
that's right.
In a hubbub.
Well, Kevin, it's good to have you on the show, and I appreciate your voice and you being on this show and chiming in along the way. Oh, I just miss you.
I miss you guys, too.
Christian misses it because he's in a girl fest when you're not here.
Yeah.
I like the dude.
You guys get, you're like, I love this for this, and I'm going, I don't like it. You should come more often.
No,
and we do want you here.
I enjoy, obviously, another guy, but I also enjoy your presence in general. So thanks for stopping by. And you guys, you know, without saying, all right?
Does it?
It does.
Sometimes you need to say it.
Well, I'm saying it right now. I appreciate you guys, and I like doing the spout with you.
Well.
And it's one of the highlights of my week, so I appreciate it.
Well, that was nice.
Yep. So check us out on Instagram. Check us out on...
do we have any announcements?
Just Instagram and email us, thespoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Are you going to post a Vine?
That's my account.
Oh.
But I could post a Vine.
So no. I put it on my Facebook.
Oh, you did. Yeah, that's right. You did. Mm. It's funny. When you download Vine, it says you have to be like 17 and over. Yeah. I'm like, for what? I don't get it. But
They probably do that for Snapchat, too. Yeah.
Oh, for Snapchat?
I bet they do.
Okay. Well, they should.
Well, hey, thanks for listening. This is The Spout.
And we're out.